I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Explosive breaking news around Hillary Clinton and the weather, which is we're getting, I think, 7 inches of rain. And it's well, Justin, you just drove through it, right? And said it was terrible. Like a moment ago?
Yeah, there's probably about, right now, a quarter inch of rain steady falling by City Hall.
Okay.
Visibility is pretty much zero. It's not good.
All right. Well, so be careful. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get interrupted with an EAS alert at some point very, very soon because there's tornado warnings, apparently, and everything else. So be careful. And if I were Hillary Clinton, I'd be careful, too, because she may go to prison. I don't know. I don't know if she will. Look, lock her up was a chant. But boy, today, you feel like, at least in your mind, you're certainly going lock her up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Chuck Grassley's report is out. The annex, the John Durham annex, has been declassified. And there's an email basically from one of the top campaign people saying HRC says go with this nonsense that Russia hacked the emails, our emails, and Russia's colluding with the Trump campaign. This is all to distract from Hillary Clinton's emails. The George Soros Open Secrets Foundation was involved with this. The Democratic Party, the FBI, the CIA, the Obama administration, I mean, everybody was involved in this Russia collusion hoax. And Hillary Clinton was colluding with Russia. And there's no doubt about the fact that for years when she was whining to anyone who would listen that she lost because of Russia, this was not only used to distract during the campaign, to try to make people think Trump would be some sort of a Russian puppet, to try to discredit his presidency, to try to bring down his presidency, and then for her to use it as an excuse as to why she lost, as she, I guess, maybe thought she could run again in 2020. I don't know, but wouldn't shut up about it, blaming the Russians. And now it's all out. It's all coming out that there's no doubt she was behind it herself. And these idiots put this stuff in writing. I don't really get that. I don't completely understand the whole thing about why they put all this stuff in writing, but nevertheless, they do. And we've got a lot of audio for you today. Chuck Grassley was on America's Newsroom. Caroline Leavitt, she updated people about it at the White House press briefing, which I watched a short time ago. So all that's happening, and we're getting like 7 inches of rain, and we have radioactive wasps. Yes, it's true. Wasps. I don't know, maybe locusts, too. I don't know. It could be the end of the world. I don't know. But wasps at a nuclear site, and now they're radioactive. So we'll talk about that as well. But the documents prove that Hillary Clinton okayed the plan to smear Trump with Russia collusion. HRC. Those are her initials. Hillary Rodham Clinton. And that's who was in charge, and that's who signed off on this. Signed off on a plan hatched by a top campaign advisor to smear then-candidate Donald Trump with false claims of Russian collusion and to distract from her own mounting email scandal during the 2016 campaign. That's everything that's coming out right now. And these files have all been declassified today. All right, so people are going through them. The intelligence came from two memos obtained by the Obama administration in the lead up to Election Day that laid out confidential conversations between leaders of the Democratic National Committee, including then chair and Twisted Sister cover band frontman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and liberal billionaire George Soros and his Open Society Foundations. The plot, the brainchild of the Clinton campaign's then foreign policy advisor Julianne Smith included raising the theme of Putin's support for Trump and subsequently steering public opinion toward the notion that it needs to equate the Russian leader's political influence campaign with actual hacking of election infrastructure. Julianne Smith would go on to serve as former President Joe Biden's ambassador to NATO. She had no comment when the New York Post reached out to her today. Neither did the Open Society senior vice president Leonard Bernardo, who was looped in on the scheme and laid out its intended effects in a series of emails in late July of 2016. Julie says it will be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. Now, it is good for a post-convention bounce. Later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire. 2 days later, he wrote, HRC approved Julia's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level. Now, that is an apparent reference to a massive state-sponsored doping campaign by Russia following the 2014 Winter Games. The point is making the Russia play a U.S. domestic issue. In absence of direct evidence, CrowdStrike and ThreatConnect will supply the media, and GRU, which is Russia's foreign intelligence arm, will hopefully carry on to give more facts. Now, this was evidence that Special Counsel John Durham uncovered during his probe into the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Crossfire Hurricane was the name that Comey and the other scoundrels gave it to investigate Trump's fake, alleged, Fugazi ties to Russia. Durham consulted the FBI and the CIA, both of which assessed that the information was likely authentic, but couldn't corroborate exact copies of the Bernardo emails with Open Society Foundations at Soros. The CIA also determined that the intelligence was not the product of Russian fabrications. The CIA, well, let me say that point again, because this is the point that needs to be emphasized. The CIA determined that the intelligence was not the product of Russian fabrications. Julianne Smith was, at minimum, playing a role in the Clinton campaign's efforts to tie Trump to Russia. That was the conclusion reached by Special Counsel John Durham. The Trump-Russia investigation was part of what a March 2016 memo included in the annex described as, quote, a two-pronged DP opposition. Now, that can have a number of meanings. So Democrat Party is what the DP, two-pronged DP Democrat Party opposition that is focused on discrediting Trump, among other things. The Clinton staff, with support from special services, is preparing scandalous revelations of business relations between Trump and the Russian mafia. Special services, cited in one of the memos, referred to the intelligence activities of Obama's CIA and FBI, which may have included the work of Trump dossier author Christopher Steele. Basically, what this means is that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the FBI and the CIA and the Obama White House were all in on this together. They were all in on it to try to stop Trump from becoming president, to help Hillary Clinton get elected president. This is why for years I have been saying we have a police state in this country, because as I've told you many times in my introduction to political science classes at the University of Maryland, I learned very early on that a police state is not cops on horseback. It's not tear gas. It's not even a cop beating a guy with a phone book to leave no marks. Those are tactics. A police state is when the government uses its law enforcement and national security apparatus to conduct political activities, spy on its citizens, go after its political enemies, and try to help its political friends and allies win. That's exactly what we had here. It's why I've been saying America is a police state, or was. We're exposing all of it now. And thank God Trump won. But you see also why they tried to push him out, why they did push him out in 2020. Let's not forget something, too. Christopher Wray would eventually become FBI director. And Christopher Wray, in the lead up to the 2020 election, would be out there telling people that the Russians were still at it. Now, this is important to note, because when Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger came out with the Twitter files, they revealed that in the summer of 2020, the FBI went to Twitter and Facebook, too, and said to them, something big is coming, we believe, from Russia. Okay? And they were telling everybody that Russia wants to hack our election. They want to get involved in our election and to be on watch for it. Now, Chris Wray, as FBI director, is a slimeball weasel, deep state weasel. He had the Hunter Biden laptop. As FBI director, the FBI had the laptop in their possession. They knew it was not Russian disinformation. They knew it was real. If you remember, they were spying on Rudy Giuliani in the summer, or I should say summer through fall of 2020. They would not prosecute Giuliani. They would not charge him, but they were spying on him. They were listening to him. They were building a case against him that went nowhere. Rudy Giuliani was speaking with Miranda Devine of the New York Post. Miranda Devine would be the one who would ultimately write the story about the Hunter Biden laptop. So the FBI knew the story was coming. The FBI went to Twitter, went to Facebook, and said, it's coming. Right? The Russians are coming, basically. So when the story broke in the New York Post and the 51 former national security deep state hacks, people like Comey and Brennan, Clapper, wrote that letter and said this has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. The FBI at no point came out and said, no, 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 this is not Russian disinformation. Christopher Wray never held a press conference. He never told anybody. Nope, he did, they let everybody believe it was Russian disinformation. What would happen? Well, as you know, Twitter, Facebook, social media, corporate media, they would all block the story. You couldn't share the story. You couldn't talk about the story. You couldn't comment on it. Twitter forbade you from sharing the story because it said it violated its policy on hacking. So the New York Post story, written by Miranda Devine in 2020, you could not share that because it violated their policy on, quote unquote, hacking. The New York Times wouldn't cover it. NPR refused to cover it. All the corporate media, with the exception of Fox News and the New York Post, and then everybody else said, Russian disinformation, we're not giving the story any credibility. Okay? Let's back up. Before Chris Wray becomes FBI director, James Comey's FBI director. James Comey knows that this is all a fugazi. The CIA knows this is all a fugazi. The White House knows this is all a fugazi. But they let the Hillary Clinton campaign go forward with it for months, and at no point did they ever step in and say, this is all a bunch of BS. In fact, not only do they not say it's a bunch of BS, they help make it seem real and credible by having investigations and briefings and everything else that they could do to make everybody believe Russia was actively trying to interfere in our election, thus giving credence to Hillary Clinton campaign's argument that they were doing that at the behest of and for the benefit of Donald Trump because Putin wanted him to win. These are very bad people here. These are very bad people. They had a political problem. And the problem was Hillary Clinton's email server. As Secretary of State, she was engaging in emails that were not classified. She was violating protocol. She broke the law. To get away from that, they changed the narrative. They changed the subject to make it about Russia. And they had the help of Barack Obama, Barack Obama's CIA, Barack Obama's FBI, Barack Obama's NSA. They had the help of the corporate media. They had the help of social media. They had the help of all of these entities. It truly is a miracle that Donald Trump was able to prevail. But she also ran one of the worst campaigns ever and never went to the Rust Belt. And she's a hideous human being and people don't like her. But that was their whole plan, to get Americans to say Trump is a Russian asset. We can't elect this guy. Let's go back to the story here. The memos also claim that then President Barack Obama was putting pressure on FBI Director James Comey through Attorney General Loretta Lynch to wrap up the probe of Clinton's use of a private email server to receive highly classified information while Secretary of State. In a January 2016 memo, said the following: Obama has no intention to darken the final part of his presidency and legacy by the scandal surrounding the main contender from the Democratic Party. The The March 2016 memo claimed the 44th president had sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possibly negative effects from the FBI investigation of cases related to the Clinton Foundation and the email correspondence in the State Department. In December of 2016, Obama ordered a post-election intelligence assessment of nefarious Russian activity surrounding that year's election. So let's understand why he did all the things he did. In the spring of 2016, they wanted the investigation into Hillary Clinton to go away. If you remember, Bill Clinton would meet with Loretta Lynch to talk about their grandkids. They wanted the investigation of Hillary Clinton to go away. When she lost in December of 2016, Barack Obama says, I want an assessment on the whole Russia collusion. And then in 2017, they go forward with this idea that Donald Trump was elected because of Russian interference. Because now that he won, they figured, well, now we got to bring this guy down. Our efforts to stop him were unsuccessful. So now we got to bring him down by making everybody convinced that he only won because of Russia. And think of the actors who were involved in this. Peter Strzok, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. Going back and forth, we will stop him. We won't let him win. But he did win. So then Barack Obama and the CIA and the FBI and all these other people, they then had to try to convince the American people and most importantly, the Republican Party, that you now had a Russian asset in the White House so that the Republican Party would remove him from office, impeach him, remove him, whatever. That was what their goal was. And they would continue that for years. They would cost the American taxpayers $60 million plus. They would try to drive his presidency to a screeching halt. They would scream Russian interference every chance they could. And then in the lead up to the 2020 election, they would do it all over again. Only this time they were successful and they were able to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. In a rigged election, because they lied about the Hunter Biden laptop and let everybody believe that it was Russian disinformation, so that they can continue the narrative that Joe Biden was just a kind old man hiding in his basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. And not the scumbag SOB, mean and corrupt old bastard that he was and is. But that was their plan. And it worked. They were successful. 2020 election was rigged because of that. Period. There are, I believe, millions of Americans who would have changed their vote had they known the extent of Joe Biden's corruption. So you don't even have to talk about voting machines, and you don't even have to talk about dead people voting. You don't even have to talk about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court changing the rules to allow ballots to come in that had no postmarks on them 3 days after the deadline. I mean, all those things helped, but the laptop alone, that alone was enough to bring down Donald Trump's presidency. And that was orchestrated by our government with full knowledge that that laptop was real. And yet they let everybody believe that it was Russian disinformation. Okay. There's a lot to this now. And stuff that's breaking as people are going through this. The assessment that the Obama administration ordered in January of 2017 included, over the objection of senior CIA officials, details from the Christopher Steele dossier, an opposition research project funded in part by Clinton's campaign and the Democrat National Committee. In March of 2016, Then FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, scumbag, shared the memos with senior officials at the Department of Justice, suggesting a plot to launch an investigation based on the Democratic campaign document. Quote, during the first stage of the campaign, due to lack of direct evidence, it was decided to disseminate the necessary information through the FBI-affiliated technical structures, in particular, the CrowdStrike and ThreatConnect companies, from where the information would then be disseminated through leading U.S. publications. Attorney General Pam Bondi, FBI Director Kash Patel, and other members of the U.S. intelligence community declassified the Durham Annex at the request of Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Based on the Durham Annex, Grassley said, the Obama FBI failed to adequately review and investigate intelligence reports showing the Clinton campaign may have been ginning up the fake Trump-Russia narrative for Clinton's political gain, which was ultimately done through the Steele dossier and other means. These intelligence reports and related records, whether true or false, were buried for years. History will show that the Obama and Biden administrations' law enforcement and intelligence agencies were weaponized against President Trump. The political weaponization has caused critical damage to our institutions and is one of the biggest political scandals and cover-ups in American history. I'm sorry, but I disagree with the senator. It is the biggest political scandal and cover-up in American history. Name me a bigger one. Name me a bigger scandal than the FBI and the CIA and the White House working with a political campaign to try to get the Democrat elected. Name me a bigger political scandal. What? Burglars breaking into a hotel office complex in D.C.? Seriously? The FBI, the CIA, the White House spying on a presidential campaign, lying about a U.S. citizen running for president, lying to FISA judges, omitting information to FISA judges, discrediting a U.S. citizen running for president, orchestrating their own little operation to try to get their party's candidate elected president. I'm sorry. There's not even a political scandal in American history that even comes close to that. There's not even one in political history that even is in the same room as that. The close second is the laptop, but this is the biggest political scandal in American history. Number three, of course, is Biden's pudding brain and the people around him making everybody believe that he was capable of being president. But even that gets dwarfed by all this, in my opinion. Because Biden was still alive. As far as we know, you know what I mean? He was still living, breathing. So CIA Director John Ratcliffe said in a statement that the files, some of which came from the CIA, showed a coordinated plan to prevent and destroy Donald Trump's presidency. And there's a lot more to this. But here's what Pam Bondi said in response to the documents coming out today. This Department of Justice, alongside the CIA, is committed to truth and transparency and will continue to support good faith efforts by Congress to hold our government accountable. Chairman Grassley is leading by example, shining light on critical issues of great interest to the American people. The American people deserve the full, unfiltered truth about the Russia collusion hoax and the political abuse of our justice system that it exposed. Today's declassification and release of documents tied to the Durham report is another step toward that accountability. I'm grateful to Chairman Grassley for his steadfast leadership on this issue, and I look forward to our continued partnership in exposing one of the most shameful frauds ever perpetrated on the American public. The Post reached out to representatives for Clinton and the Open Society Foundation for comment. They did not get any. If they do, we'll certainly bring that to you as the show goes on. We have a lot to talk about today. We're just getting started here. That is the big story of the day, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. It's about care. It's about compassion, not about cost. VenariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so it's going to be raining for a while. Be careful. Thunderstorms, flooding, events are getting canceled everywhere. So check things out. And, you know, obviously, yeah, you're a smart person. You'll figure it out. But just know that there could be this for the next several hours as we deal with this weather. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. Got a lot of audio for you. There's breaking news all around this. Yes, Road Warrior was right. We're going to say that every hour. Apparently, I was not right. I'm not quite sure what I wasn't right about or what I was angry about, or I don't know exactly, but apparently something. I think he's referring to the fact that Russia never hacked Hillary Clinton's emails. And that's fine. I mean, it's obvious they didn't. And so Road Warrior's right. I don't remember really dying on the sword that Russia hacked her emails. I'm kind of missing that from my memory bank. I think that obviously what was in those burn bags by John Durham, I just can't believe these idiots didn't burn all the evidence. We are dealing with such morons here, and yet it's strange because in one sense, they perpetrated the greatest political coup in American history involving the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the White House, and everybody. They weren't successful the first go-around. They were successful the second go-around. But then they left all the evidence in burn bags, but never burned the bags. I mean, I'm not a criminal mastermind here. I'm no Lex Luthor, greatest criminal mastermind of our century, criminal genius. But it seems to me like if you're putting stuff in burn bags, you should burn the burn bag, right? I mean, like, did they think they were self-combustible? Self-combusting? Like, I'm trying to understand this. So what we're learning now is that Hillary Clinton approved this whole plan. Hillary was behind all this, coordinated with the FBI. They want everybody to believe that Russia hacked her emails. They want everybody to believe that they did this at the behest of Donald Trump to help Donald Trump. And at no point did our government do anything to stop her lies. If anything, they did everything they possibly could to help perpetuate the hoax. Clapper, Brennan, Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and God only knows who else was involved. But I think more names are coming out, and we're going to learn more about this. Again, all this stuff has been declassified today. So a lot's breaking. But the one thing we know is that Hillary Clinton, HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton, said, go do it. We got to get everybody to stop talking about my emails. So let's start talking about my emails. See what I mean? Got to stop talking about my emails as Secretary of State and the fact that they were on an unsecure server and that I was breaking the law, and talk about my emails that were hacked by Russia and the GRU, even though they weren't. So that's what was going on there. Here's Caroline Leavitt today reacting to the now declassified report. This is cut number one from the White House press briefing earlier today. Take a listen.
Well, I think a major organization of the national security apparatus, at least here at the White House within the National Security Council, has indeed taken place. And the president entrusts his current CIA director, John Ratcliffe, and our ODNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, to make the necessary changes to ensure classified intelligence, especially that could implement or hurt the national security of our country, does not make its way into the hands of irresponsible actors who want to politicize that intelligence for their own end. Since you brought up the declassification report that was put out by Senator Grassley today. I'm glad you brought it up because this should be a story every outlet in this room should be covering. This is further evidence that Hillary Clinton approved the Russia hoax against President Trump. Her campaign financed it. Again, she approved it. And the FBI and the CIA were both weaponized to, as our director of CIA has said, accelerate this hoax against then-candidate and former President Trump. To answer the heart of your question, the president wants to see justice served, and he trusts the Attorney General and the Department of Justice to implement that justice and hold these people accountable.
Okay. Chuck Grassley has been at this for years. He was on America's Newsroom today with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I will be on there Monday or Tuesday, just as an FYI, shameless plug, because, you know, I have to do that all the time. But, yeah, no, it's cool. They're having me on every week now, which is nice. So I got that going for me, which is nice. Anyway, Chuck Grassley, chairman of the Senate committee, he's been all over this, breaking it down here. So I got a couple clips here for you. Let's start with cut number 38.
It actually brings attention to the fact that there was either a Clinton conspiracy to make this happen, or Russian disinformation. But either way, it was an attempt to stop Trump, and it also proves that the FBI had a hand in it. And now, after these 8 years, 3 years of my trying to get the document, we know that there was the Steele dossier paid for by the Democrats and the Clinton campaign, that it was all effort of total distraction and to make it look like Russia was playing a very major role in helping Trump to be elected. And now we know none of that was true. And now with this Durham report annex out, it finally proves that the FBI was covering up.
Okay. So the FBI was covering up. All right. That's what we know. The FBI was covering this up. And the FBI was in on the cover up. And let's understand something, that the FBI purposely now let everybody believe that it was real. It was all real. Grassley continues here. Take a listen.
The public's business ought to be public, and what the FBI does ought to be public as long as their investigations are done. Or if they aren't investigating, if they aren't doing their job, then it should be exposed, and this Durham Annex exposes that.
The Durham Annex exposes that. Good. All right. A lot more is going to come out. The president is supposed to speak at 4 o'clock and sign an executive order on sports. So we're going to go to that live, obviously, and hopefully he'll take some questions. And this is a big day for him. And I've got a flashback video for you, which we're going to play. It's a compilation that Colin Rugg made, and it's various Hillary Clinton appearances talking about Russia. One of them, of course, is from the debate, where she was accusing Trump on the debate stage of Russia getting involved in the election. Another clip is Hillary Clinton in 2020 saying Russia was doing it again. Christopher Wray is warning us Russia is doing it again. Now, the reason why I want to play that compilation for you is because after all this happens, they obviously try to bring down Trump's presidency. They're successful in doing so in 2020. But Christopher Wray, as the FBI director, we should not let this guy off the hook, in my opinion. He was part of, and I don't know if he was willingly, I can't say, and there's been no evidence to suggest that Christopher Wray was an active, willing participant in trying to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. Nothing like that has come to light. But it just seems to me, if you're the FBI director and you're out there telling everybody Russia, 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 you're making people believe that Russia is going to do it again. You're carrying on the lie that was started by your predecessor that Russia did it in the first place. And if you're the FBI director and you've got this laptop in your possession You don't let everybody know that it's not Russian disinformation. And it seems to me that even if you're not named in all this, you certainly played a big part in all this. And I don't hear Christopher Wray's name enough. I don't hear enough people mentioning that guy. But we're going to mention it. Because I told you that he was a slime ball, and the other slime ball is Bill Barr, because as Attorney General of the United States of America, he also could have come out and said, not only do we not have to worry about Russia in 2020, we didn't have to worry about Russia in 2016. But he didn't do that either. These people did not want Donald Trump to win. They did not want him to get reelected. So they were willing participants in this, whether or not they're going to be named in any of these documents. Their silence is complicity. And I am not going to let either of those two off the hook here. Not at all. Okay. So give me your comments on this. You're welcome to call the show, 855-839-1210, if you like, or you can weigh in on our YouTube chat. We are streaming live on YouTube. Please like and subscribe. You can also tweet me at Rich Zeoli on X as well. All right. I want to tell you about a guy who is a fantastic person. And let's talk about your health for a moment. All right. You got to undergo, say, complex dental surgery, you know, something like implants, crowns, the really complicated stuff. Are you going to trust these chain dental offices out there? No, of course not. You want the best of the best. And when it comes to your smile, there's no one better. No one better than Dr. Mike Veneria. For over 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental, has been recognized by his peers as a master of complex dental implants and dental procedures. Dr. Mike treats other doctors. The experts call Dr. Mike the expert. And the experts go see him and send their patients to Dr. Mike. You want a dentist who cares about your health? Well, that's Dr. Mike Veneria. See, the difference is it's not about cost. It's about care. It's about compassion. Compassion and commitment to your health, that's Dr. Mike Veneria's top priority. It's why he's my family's dentist and why, when it comes to your health, your smile, you should go see him and make your appointment today. Get a free dental implant consultation. If you already had an estimate for complex dental procedures, get a second opinion. It's worth doing. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
So, how you doing out there? You okay? Hanging in there with the weather? You driving all right? 855-839-1210. Make Matt DeSantis work if you like. Call the show and express your outrage at all this with Hillary Clinton and everything that's coming out. And you can also weigh in on our YouTube chat, and you can tweet the show as well. Joan Cohen asking the question, will there be accountability? Look, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball here, but here's what I do know. In 2020, John Durham did not want his report being released because he was worried about the impacts of the presidential election. That was a mistake. They should have released that. They also, you can't go back in time. Hindsight, you know, it's obvious that they orchestrated the coup against Trump in 2020, and they never thought in a million years the guy would ever get reelected. Their belief was, let's make him the nominee by going after him and prosecuting him everywhere. I mean, honestly, like, if they had just left the guy alone, if they had ignored him, let him be at Mar-a-Lago on Untruth Social, and if they had just left him alone, it's very possible that Ron DeSantis would have become the Republican nominee. You know, it you look at where things were polling wise, and I believe truly that after the 2020 election, just by looking at the data, there were Republicans who were ready to move on from Trump. But when they started going after him, when they started indicting him, when they started prosecuting him, I think those Republicans came back. And I think they said, hell no. And I think the Democrats figure that's exactly what would happen, which is why they went after him. Because they thought Republicans would come home to Donald Trump, they would rally around him, and he'd become the nominee. And he'd lose again. So they were right in the sense that by going after him and prosecuting him, we would rally around him again. But they were wrong in their assessment that he would lose. Because they didn't factor in a couple things. They didn't factor in just how bad the economy would get. And they didn't factor in just how bad Joe Biden's brain would get. Had they factored those things in, they might have thought about a much different approach. But their arrogance, they said, well, we beat Trump once, we'll beat him again. And they figured, let's make him the guy. How do we make him the guy? We raid Mar-a-Lago. We rally the troops, rally Republicans around him. And the more they went after him, the more that I anecdotally heard people tell me, you know what, I was done with the guy, but I'm back. I'll walk over hot coals for him at this point. There's no way I'm going to let them do this to him. I'm back on board. People that had left, I mean, really, people had who had left either after they felt like he was too combative or he didn't do enough to stop Fauci, or people who were upset about January 6th, or just people who said he lost and we need a new candidate. As time went on, I would hear more and more of those people, and maybe you heard the same thing, say to me, you know what, Rich, I'm back. I'm back on board with Trump. I'm back. It's why when DeSantis announced his candidacy, if you remember, I said to you at the time, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to maintain the peace here because I don't even know if this guy is going to make it to the debates. I don't know how long he's going to be in this race. And sure enough, the candidacy did not last very long. I said, so let's not kill each other here because let's let this play out. And it played out, and Trump won the nomination pretty easily. Thanks in large part to the Democrats prosecuting him everywhere they possibly could. And when I say that there, it's amazing to me because you have the biggest idiots in the world who orchestrated the greatest political coup of all time, and yet they left the evidence there in plain sight. They put it in burn bags, but they never burned the bags. I don't understand that. I don't know why they didn't cover their tracks. And the only conclusion I can reach is just their arrogance, their hubris, that they just figured there's no way this guy's ever getting back in the White House. There's no way that he could win. And what I was saying over the years, if you remember, over the years, what I was saying consistently was they are making a really big mistake here because this economy is not good. And this president's brain is not good. I don't even think this guy's going to be the nominee. But he's not going to go willingly. So they gambled here on a lot and they lost. And now he's back in there with his people. And what did I tell you? I said, this is going to be the revenge tour. This is going to be Donald Trump now looking to extract revenge against the people that went after him and orchestrated this coup against him, the deep state and everybody else. And that's what happened. And good. So to answer the question, will there be accountability? I don't know. But I know this. If he didn't win, or if another Republican had gotten in there, none of this would be coming out. None of it. The first step in accountability, like the first step in recovery, is acknowledging what happened, acknowledging the truth. you can't have accountability until you do that. So that's step number one. You know, it's like they always say when they talk about people who battle with addiction. The first step is to acknowledge you've got a problem that's beyond your control. So when you say to somebody, you know, can you sober up? I mean, can they? I don't know. But the first thing I have to do is acknowledge they have a problem, right? If they don't acknowledge they have a problem first, then there's no chance of recovery because they don't think there's a problem. I don't know if there'll be accountability, but I know this. You can't have accountability unless you expose everything. This is the exposure phase now. We're getting all this out there. Thank God. So there's no reason yet to be frustrated that nobody's been held accountable because now the stuff is finally coming out. We knew a lot of this. We felt a lot of this in our soul. But A, we weren't able to confirm it all, and B, we weren't in power. So there was only so much we could do. The Democrats were in charge. But obviously, the fact that they didn't destroy all the evidence shows you that these idiots believe that there was no chance Donald Trump would ever take the White House again. I mean, you could not spell this out more beautifully. All right, big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. The president's going to sign some executive orders. We'll jump in and take it live for you. We'll see if he takes some questions. I imagine he'll have a lot to say, so don't go away.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.